And with 3.9 seconds left in the third quarter, Curry substituted for Chris Kaman, which marked Curry's first ever appearance in an NBA regular season game.
Just feels great. You know, now even dressing out for a game, even to get that chance to be ready, call my number and jump off that bench loose at all times.
That's the hopeful voice of Jamezon Curry on the night of his NBA debut. It was a historic moment for all the wrong reasons. After his brief moment on the court, Curry never made it back, and he ended up with the shortest career ever recorded. But basketball still changed his life in ways he never imagined. It's Friday, January 24th. I'm Mina Kimes. This is ESPN Daily, presented by Dell Small Business. Royce, hello.
Hello, Mina.
Royce Young is a basketball writer for ESPN. He wrote about the shortest career in NBA history. It lasted 3.9 seconds. Royce, it's been exactly 10 years this Saturday since Jamezon Curry, who I should note is not related to Steph Curry, made his NBA debut. I found his story fascinating because here's a guy who is seemingly on the cusp of achieving all of his dreams, and then poof, it's over. He's out of the league. How did you go about finding him?
You know, it was a really long kind of winding path to it, Mina, and it was somewhat of a passion project, but part of me was I was kind of scared. I mean, that's a story outside my comfort zone a little bit, to just completely cold call somebody and track them down and find out. Because, you know, on the other side of it, you don't know what you're going to see. Like, the story is 3.9 seconds, right? And then it's open-ended after that. Where's he at? What's he doing? Is he in jail? Is he overseas? Is he still trying to play basketball? I have no idea. You kind of put these stories in your mind of like, I kind of want to know about that. And then they kind of just sort of get lost in the shuffle and you keep thinking about it and you keep wondering about it. And that's what happened with me, is that finally it was like, you know what? I'm going to find out about this. And I got kind of approval to pursue this story. And at that time it was like, okay, we don't know where he's at. You know, he could be still playing professional basketball somewhere in like Moscow or Turkey or Israel or wherever. And it just so happened that when I finally got in touch with Jamezon Curry through Instagram, of all places, because that's how you are a reporter in 2020, he got back to me and he told me to call him. And I said, so where do you live now? And he told me he lived in Enid, Oklahoma, which just so happened to be an hour away from me. So safe to say, Mina, my editors were quite happy that the travel budget got significantly reduced. Instead of me flying to Moscow or something, I just had to drive up the road to Enid.
So Royce, you reach out to Jamezon, you find out he lives near you so you can get his story. You were drawn to his story because he had the shortest career in NBA history, 3.9 seconds. Did he know that when you first approached him?
Oh, very much so. You know, if you type it in on YouTube, if you just type in his name, there's like a video out there that somebody made and it's got over a million views or something like that. And it's kind of like, you know, a wow, did you know fact in the NBA. And Jamezon understood that he was basically the answer to a trivia question and not a flattering trivia question.
Was he a highly touted recruit?
So Jamezon Curry was really a household name, Mina. And so much so that in North Carolina basketball history, he's a true legend. He scored more points in high school than Michael Jordan, ever heard of him, James Worthy, David Thompson, and he set that record. And he was a five-star recruit. He was committed to North Carolina. He was a big, big deal. And people from all around the state would come to watch him play. He was routinely scoring 45, 50, 55 points a night. He had a dedicated beat reporter that would come and follow him around. He was destined to be the next great college basketball player and thereby the next great professional basketball player.
So from there, does he get all the offers to the big schools, you know, fast track to the NBA?
He did have the offers. He had everybody recruiting him. It was set up for him to go play for Roy Williams at North Carolina and lead them to national championships and get drafted, be a one and done player, go to the NBA. All that type of stuff was set up for him to happen. The crazy thing about it was, he plays a game against Graham High School, and I think he scored 47 in that game. His team was on the fast track to a state title, And the next morning, he shows up at school and he gets called into the principal's office. So he walks down the hall, he walks into the principal's office, and he sees a bunch of police officers in there. And he thinks that they're in there because they want to ask him for an autograph. And instead of that, they put him in handcuffs. James Zahn was caught selling drugs to an undercover cop. James Zahn sold him marijuana. And his total take for it, Mina, was $95. So while he was dropping 47 on Graham High School, they were printing up a warrant for his arrest. So at that point, everything completely changed for him. Didn't take long for North Carolina to pull his scholarship. He was kicked out of school, kicked off the basketball team. He finished high school at an alternative school. And really at that point, just didn't know if he was going to get another chance.
So what does he decide to do next?
As you might believe, since he was so, so good, some other schools got involved, but this kind of random place jumped out to him and really kind of hooked him. And that was Oklahoma State University. And part of what Oklahoma State had to sell for him was their coach, Eddie Sutton, was a recovering alcoholic and he understood second chances. And of course, he brought him to Oklahoma State because first of all, he's really good. Second of all, because he saw something in James Zahn and thought he was worthwhile taking that shot on.
So how does he do when he gets to Oklahoma State?
He was good. There was a game where he was playing in Madison Square Garden, achieving his dreams. They were playing against Syracuse, and he was part of a big second half run. And
Curry, a deep three on the assist from Lucas, and the Cowboys have the lead.
Dick Vitale called him a diaper dandy, and it was a dream come true.
Curry feeling it. It's a two.
It's not bad to bring him off the bench, giving you that spoil. This could be a coming out party for Mr. Curry.
Played one of the greatest games in all time in college basketball history. It was that triple overtime game against Kevin Durant in Texas.
Durant with the spin. Around and out. Here's Curry on Augustine. This could be entertaining. Oklahoma State back in front by two.
James Zahn scored 40-something. Durant scored 40-something. And it's known to be one of the great games ever.
Too far from the basket. Gets it up.
He starts getting, you know, draft talk. Scouts are coming to watch him play. So it all kind of felt like it had come together for James Zahn and he was going to have his shot after all.
So Curry gets drafted by the Bulls. What happens next?
So he shows up with the Bulls and he's sent down to the D League. He's brought back up. He's sent back down. He's brought back up. He's bouncing back and forth. And in his mind, he's not really getting his chance. And he has a couple incidents that, again, pop up for him. One, he was at the D-League showcase in Idaho, and he gets busted on public urination and gets arrested for it. The Bulls suspend him one game, and now it's like, you know, he's got another thing kind of tagged with him there. And He has another incident where he's driving to the airport in Chicago. He says he gets lost on the way to the airport, and he misses his flight going to New York, and that's another strike from the Bulls. And in his mind, that was one that, like, they couldn't kind of get over it. There was a time where their coach, Scott Skiles, kind of told the team, this practice is an open tryout for playing time. And he felt like he showed everybody up. He was crushing it. He killed everybody on the court in a scrimmage. And Scott Skiles pulled him aside. And I think that Skiles probably thought it was a compliment, but it really wasn't, at least not to James Zahn. But he said, you're going to be the best player in the D-League. And that kind of crushed James Zahn's spirits. And he just goes through this season and he just never gets a chance with him. And they end up cutting him after the year.
So he gets cut by the Bulls, and after that, he's bouncing around the EuroLeague, D-League teams. How does he make his way back to the NBA?
Yeah, he bounces around, he gets some chances, and he gets drafted. He's actually the first draft pick ever for the Bakersfield Jam. They're the D-League affiliate for the Los Angeles Clippers, and he's doing great. He becomes a D-League All-Star, and he finally gets his call-up.
He gets the call. What happens next?
So he gets a call up and suits up for the Clippers. They're in Boston. They're playing the Celtics. It's late third quarter. There's some foul trouble issues, some injury issues.
So Rondo now the final possession for the Boston Celtics.
So James Zahn gets his number called. Mike Dunleavy says, get in the game.
With 3.9 seconds to go and a good use of it.
There's 3.9 seconds left on the clock in the third quarter. James on jumps up, runs the scores table.
And look who comes in. James on Curry.
Hey.
His first appearance ever in an NBA game.
What a thrill it's got to be. Oh,
man. Dream fulfilled. Here's his name called out in the arena. Runs out on the court. He's guarding Rajon Rondo.
I'm sure he couldn't have expected it right at this moment.
A week ago, he sure didn't expect it.
There's a quick play run. Not much happens. Doesn't touch the ball. Doesn't do anything other than just kind of stand there.
Pierce gets the ball to Allen on the run with a half second to go. Will not get off a reasonable shot. The Clippers, I think, are pretty happy to be down by only five.
Buzzer sounds, runs off the court, and DeAndre Jordan subs in for him to start the fourth quarter, and he never steps on the floor again. And like literally never, because the next morning he wakes up, he gets a call from the Clippers the next morning telling him he's been cut.
Coming up, how Jamison Curry fought to get back on the court and ended up fighting a bigger battle.
The best teams start with great talent, but finding the right people can be a challenge. I mean, just ask the New York Knicks. When it comes to hiring for your business, ZipRecruiter can help you find the right candidates for your team fast, from healthcare to manufacturing to business services and more. And now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/ESPNDaily. ZipRecruiter sends your job to over 100 top job sites, but they don't stop there. With their powerful matching technology, ZipRecruiter scans thousands of resumes to find people with the right skills and experience for your job and actively invites them to apply. You can even add screening questions to your job listing so you can filter candidates and focus on the best ones. ZipRecruiter is so effective that 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. And right now, to try ZipRecruiter for free, my listeners can go to ZipRecruiter.com/ESPNDaily. That's ZipRecruiter.com/ESPNDaily. ZipRecruiter.com/ESPNDaily. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire.
So Royce, Jamison Curry has just had this moment on the NBA court. It's brief, but it happened. How does he feel about that? How does he feel about his prospects?
He felt like he belonged. It was the start to something bigger for him.
I just worked my tail off, and to get the opportunity, you know, it feel much, much better.
You know, I got my name in an NBA box score, and that's good, but that's just step one. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to keep working. I'm going to keep trying. And at some point, it's going to happen again for me.
So Jamison has his 3.9 seconds. He gets cut, but that's not unusual for guys on those types of contracts. And he assumes he'll get another shot. What happens next?
He starts dealing with some injuries. Then some of the other stuff off the court starts to kind of haunt him again the way that it did when he was younger.
What are those off the court incidents?
He's still with his longtime girlfriend named Christy that he met when he was a freshman at Oklahoma State. So he's still connected to the state of Oklahoma because that's where she's from. And so he gets pulled over one time and he's arrested for having an illegal substance, marijuana. He's cited for it. That's, I believe, in 2014. Another one, he gets pulled over in Edmond, Oklahoma, and he's got Xanax on him with enough where they believe he's going to distribute it. And he also has a firearm with him, and he gives the police officer a fake name. He was like, I'm not gonna lie, I was hustling, I was selling, I was doing what I had to do, and I was falling back into some of my old traps because he was completely lost and didn't really know what to do with himself. You know, when you're a convicted felon and you're living somewhere like Oklahoma and you're trying to go get a job, it's not easy to do. And you know, he would say things like, Burger King wouldn't even hire me.
When does it become clear to him that his professional basketball career is finally over and he's hit a point of no return?
It's April of 2017. He's back in his hometown in North Carolina. He decides it's late at night. It's past midnight. And he jumps in his dad's truck and he's going to drive to this place because he wants a cigar. As he's driving down the road, he drops his phone, reaches down for it, kind of pulls on the steering wheel and just flips the truck. and it rolls over into a ditch, and it's as bad as you might imagine. Cab turned completely inside out, blood running down his face, blood everywhere. Can't hardly breathe. At that point, he thought that he might have died, you know, and he goes to the emergency room, and it turns out that he had broken his back in a number of different places. He has to have emergency surgery, rods put in his back. He's got huge scars down the middle of his back. He had been chasing basketball his whole life, and in some ways, basketball had been chasing him, but this was real. Like, it was taken away from him now. This is, you know, somebody that was not too many years ago breaking Michael Jordan's record, and now he's got to have help going to the bathroom, and he can't stand up on his own.
So he's not just fighting to get back in the NBA, he's fighting for his life. What is his state of mind like at this point?
Just complete depression. He described it to me as the darkest time of his entire life. So he comes back to Oklahoma at that point and kind of recenters himself with his girlfriend, Christy. He finally kind of gets a job offer, working like in the oil industry and kind of shipping parts and stuff. He's like loading trucks to ship out for oil supplies in Oklahoma oil fields. But that job actually is like what really kind of turned everything around for him. It was a turning point.
How so?
Well, connects with somebody. The guy, his name was Justin, asked James on, could you maybe like, my kid's playing some basketball and he needs some help. And you're obviously James on Curry. I know how good you were. Could you like work with him a little bit and see if you can help him? So James on shows up at the YMCA and he starts helping out Justin's kid. And then Justin's like, hey, can you maybe like fill in as a coach? Yeah, absolutely. And so he starts doing that. Word of mouth starts to spread that, you know what? My kid did some work with James on, or he's playing for James on's team and he's getting a little bit better. One of the things, Mina, is that James on would talk about that the team that he took over, they weren't very good. And so people like around Oklahoma know who James on Curry is. He was still recognizable. And so he'd show up with this little basketball team. He would walk in and people like, hey, there's James on Curry. And then 10 minutes later, they'd be like, hey, James on Curry's team sucks. And that was kind of it was kind of humiliating for him. But at the same point, it was really motivating. And he was really starting to find that he had a passion for teaching and developing kids playing basketball.
So you get in touch with James on, you find out he is living actually pretty close to you in a town called Enid, Oklahoma, and he's doing a lot of coaching in a very small town called Drummond. Royce, you went to see him running his basketball camp there. What was that like?
Drummond, Oklahoma is like what you would imagine Drummond, Oklahoma to look like. Takes you like 10 seconds to drive through it, start to finish. It's just all dirt and dust and tractors, and there's more cows than people, barbed wire fences everywhere. It's small time. It was like late summer when I finally had the opportunity to go out there. He said he was going to be doing a two-day basketball camp, his first ever camp. He'd had 60 kids sign up, and I was worried. I was worried that like he wasn't going to live up to the things that he was telling me. And when I walked in the doors, I see him behind a counter all by himself, and he's checking all the kids in. He's registering them. He's taking down their names. He's handing them the t-shirt that he had printed up, and he's doing it all himself. As he goes through it, all these kids gather around him. There's complete respect from him for the kids, but also all the parents that are there. They absolutely love the guy. He's so charismatic. He's just got so much energy to him, and people are just kind of drawn to him. He's got a gravity. And as he starts this camp off, it's obvious that like this guy's the real deal. And that just absolutely blew me away.
When James on looks back at his career, all 3.9 seconds of it, how does he feel about it all today?
It was something that used to bother him. And, you know, he would want people to understand I'm a lot more than just the guy that played 3.9 seconds. I'm a lot more than the guy with the shortest career in NBA history. But now, as his life has really kind of changed, and he just sees it completely differently now. And that when you bring it up to him, he just kind of laughs and smiles. And he says, you know what that means? I'm probably the highest paid player per second in NBA history. And so he has really just got a completely different optimistic viewpoint in his life. Basketball was everything to him. It was his pure identity. but he just kind of misunderstood what basketball actually meant to him. And he thought basketball meant fame and money and cars and everything that comes with that, and being an NBA superstar, the thing that he thought he was destined to be. And once that got taken away from him, once kind of the dreams of what being an NBA player are supposed to represent got taken away from him, and it got distilled down to being just about basketball, then it became about the purity of the game. And that's where he really kind of found himself.
Thanks so much, Royce.
Yeah, Mina, thanks so much for having me on. It was awesome to talk about this.
Coming up, another basketball player finds her purpose off the court. Now you can win a $250,000 home renovation designed by the Scott Brothers in an ADT smart home security system. To enter, just head to ADT.com/passtheprotection and tell us what you want to protect. A beautiful home is great, but a safer home is even better. Now's your opportunity to get both. The winner and the winner's home will be featured in an ADT video with the Scott Brothers. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited. Ends March 16th. Must be 18 or over and a homeowner as of February 1st, 2020. To learn more about the contest and read the official rules, go to ADT.com/passtheprotection. Here's another story I want you to know. When the WNBA season tips off in May, the league will be missing one of its most prominent names. This week, Minnesota Lynx forward Maya Moore, one of the best to ever play the sport, and a former UConn star who played for some of those dominant teams we told you about yesterday, told the New York Times' Kurt Streeter that she will be taking another season off to continue her work as an advocate for criminal justice reform, focusing on a campaign to free a prisoner named Jonathan Irons. She will also miss the Olympics this year. Moore became involved in Irons' appeal after meeting him through a prison ministry back in 2007. She learned that he was accused of burglary and assault when he was 16, and that while prosecutors say he admitted to his crime, he denies the confession, which was not recorded. He was ID'd by the homeowner, who was shot in the head, but there are no other witnesses, fingerprints, or DNA evidence connecting him to the attack, and he's serving a 50-year sentence. Moore, who believes he is innocent, has helped fund his defense. She's also spent her time off supporting changes she'd like to see in the criminal justice system, in particular, how it treats minorities and the poor. She told Streeter that after accomplishing so much as a player, leading two undefeated college teams at UConn, winning gold at the 2012 and 2016 Summer Games, and taking home four WNBA titles, there's nothing more she wants to experience in her sport. But she also said this isn't a retirement announcement. She's simply putting her career on hold to achieve other things, this time in another court. I'm Mina Kimes, and this has been ESPN Daily. Our show is produced by Michael Baltierra, Troy Farkas, Alexander Hyacinth, Mike Johns, Steve Martin, Ryan Nantel, David Cerosi, Andy Tennant, Eve Tro, Chris Tuminello, and Aaron Vale. I'll talk to you Monday.